Welcome to the Lucky Titan Podcast. Here you will learn how to fill your favorite platform with tons of your dream customers from some of the world's top entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Josh Tapp. Now let's get started. What is up, everybody? Josh Tapp here again, and welcome back to the Lucky Titan. And today we're here with an awesome guest, Mike Acker. He is one of the top writers. Honestly, I was really intrigued by his bio, and I have to kind of pause and go back to this because he was named the number one book for overcoming the fear of speaking. And I had to write that down so I didn't miss it, Mike, but on the fear of overcoming the fear of speaking, the number one by Forbes. So he comes highly, highly recommended, A, as an author, B, as a speaker, and honestly, just as a business leader in general. But his story was so awesome because he went from having a father who was a pharmaceutical entrepreneur, is what he said, which I loved that, to pastor, to now I would consider one of the top thought leaders in his space. So I'm excited to have Mike here today. Mike, can you say what's up to everybody and then we'll hop in?
Hey, great to be here. Hello, everybody. Looking forward to giving you some great content today.
Love it. Me too. I'm excited. People love coming here and hearing your story, but also your frameworks and everything. And I just have to let everybody know, we did just get back from our trip from Cancun last night at like 3 a.m. So I'm exhausted. I'm going to do my best to just hand the mic over to Mike here because this guy has some amazing stuff. So I want to ask you, Mike, to kind of kick this interview off. I do want to know your story about the pharmaceutical entrepreneur. So fill us out on that.
Right. Often, if you're an entrepreneur, you were inspired by some entrepreneur. For that, that was my dad and my mom. My mom started a preschool. My dad started a drug smuggling business. So the pharmaceutical entrepreneur was marijuana and others when he was a hippie in the 70s and even before that. So he passed it on to me, not the drug smuggling, but the entrepreneurial spirit. He became a very dedicated Christian when I was about 3-4 years old. And they switched over from a life that was far from what would be called Christian ethics. And they became not the political Christians or just church attending Christians, but they became the type of people that said, wow, let's do something in the world. So we fed the poor. We went to Mexico. We built homes. We traveled to Haiti. We did stuff all around Asia and the dumps of Philippines. We smuggled Bibles into China when I was about 4 years old, because my parents figured, hey, we smuggled other stuff. Let's smuggle something good nowadays. We could have been thrown in prison.
You still get arrested for it, but at least you can feel good about yourself.
And then he became a lawyer because, hey, why not? And then when I was 10 years old, we up and moved from this small little middle America type town. And we moved to Mazatlan, Mexico to serve the poor and disenfranchised as my parents started yet another organization, and we took care of kids who were displaced from the school system. So I saw my dad and my mom start things and run them. I saw their adventurous spirit. I saw their love, their service. I saw some of the bad things that happen as well. As humans, we're all imperfect. And so I saw that and was able to give them grace along the way as they learned and they changed. So when I came back to the United States, I had a chance to see, what do I want to be? And I had some influences in my life, and just looking at some of the things that had impacted me, I said, I want to do that. I want to help people. And really now the way I phrase what I did as a pastor, now as a coach and a speaker and a writer, is this: I want to help people realize their potential. I love to get paid for it as well. I love when people buy the book and it's mutually beneficial. It helps them. It helps me. I love when I get to speak and I help a lot of people and it helps me. So I'm looking for win-win situations, but even then, and we talked about this beforehand, I start my day and say, no matter what, whether I get paid, whether I don't, if it develops business, I am in the business of helping people realize their potential. And I truly believe that if I help enough people in the world, like the quote says, that then in turn, I will get people to help me.
And I completely agree with that. And I do want to ask you this, Mike, because you were in Mazatlan. Did you ever go to Oaxaca by chance?
I never did. I went to a lot of different places, DFA, and I went to Guanajuato and Chihuahua. I'm going to be actually in Cabo next week with a client. So a lot of travel, but not to Oaxaca.
I lived in Oaxaca and Cuernavaca for 2 years. So service mission as well. So this is kind of cool to see that you had done the same thing. See where our stories kind of line up. But I do want to just point this out for our audience as well, you know, listening to this. And this is one of the main reasons why I love interviewing people like you. Every successful person has such a fun backstory. And if you really dive into it, I mean, who would have thought, right, Mike? I mean, you're a very collected guy. You're very well put together. But then you say, hey, you know, I came from kind of a scary history, but then my parents changed their entire lives, which changed my life. And then you move on to become such a successful person. It's just so fun to see that transition from you know, where you were at to where you are now. So I love to see that.
Right. And not only even a family, when I do speaking and I write about speaking, I have several books coming out this year in all these different areas. If you go back into my own speaking career, in terms of life, I had a speech impediment as a kid. I couldn't say certain sounds. I overcame that. I went to Mexico and I got terrorized by my inability to learn the language and just everybody making fun of me. Ended up really loving the culture, really embracing it, but it took me a while and it really caused psychosomatic fear I talk about in my book, where really I'd get sick just because of the fear of showing up the next day and having to talk in front of people and interact with people. And then moving back to the United States, it was difficult to reacclimate to another culture once I had become really functionally Mexican. And so it was a lot of just not only the family stuff and the environmental, but those personal challenges that I had to overcome. And those things that we often think of as tragedies and difficulties, as you and I know, and as everybody listening here, if you're in that middle of that moment right now where just life is tough and difficult, that as you press through with the right help, you can get through to the other side and see the success that those difficulties can bring about.
I love that. Yeah, it's just knowing that the success is always on the other side of the failure and the fear and everything. And I completely agree with what you're talking about there. And this really does dovetail well into what you teach. I mean, your entire platform is around removing that fear so you can go out and speak. And I did want to ask you this, because you mentioned this in the pre-interview and I thought it was so cool. It's really how you can set yourself apart as a speaker, and who are the types of people that, like, what are the stories that they tell that help them become a great speaker? So could you speak to that?
Yeah. So if you want to become a great speaker, a lot of people ask me, how do I become a speaker? So I work with some TEDx speakers that have spoken to large audiences, and I have CEOs and I have celebrities and I have some other brands that I represent that would be well known right here. And people will come to me and say, how do you do that? How do you get out there in front of people? I even represent 7 different speakers. And so how do you do that? How do I get to be one of your speakers, Mike? And I tell people again and again, there's 5 different ways that you can develop a speaking career. So if you're here listening, going, man, I'm this or that, and I want to speak, I want to make money speaking. Okay. This is what you can do. Okay. First one is you can have an incredible, incredible story. Like, your story is so amazing. Like Bethany Hamilton, she's surfing as a teenager, a shark bites off her shoulder, and then she gets out and she still continues to surf. Now, if you got an incredible story and you can get that story out there, you can become a speaker. The only problem is a lot of the stories are not something you want to try to manufacture. My dad, part of the reason why he became a drug smuggler is because he wanted to write a book. So in 8th grade, he said, I'm going to live a crazy life. So he cooked for the Hell's Kitchen gang when he was in, you know, 15-year-old, and did all kinds of crazy stuff. So he wrote a book that just came out recently, Pirates, Scoundrels, and Saints. And he's promoting that right now through me, apparently. The second way that you can become a speaker is wild success. I think Jeff Bezos, he doesn't need to get paid, but if he wanted to get paid, he could get paid millions of dollars to speak to people because of his wild success. Now, you don't need to be a Jeff Bezos, but what is your wild success story? Third is you need some kind of product. What is your product that you can point to? It helps if it's also wildly successful, and it also helps if it has a great story. Your product could be a book, and that becomes your platform. That's an easier one that a lot of people do from. But it could be that you developed something, or a Tom's shoes that became a product that he spoke from, and product with a story and success. The fourth one is affiliation. So you want to become a speaker? Affiliate yourself to someone. There are some typical motivational speakers who have just affiliated themselves with somebody. And hey, I come from this. Like, for example, I'm affiliated with John Maxwell. And so here's my affiliation. Let it speak for itself. Oh, John Maxwell. Okay. Now, the more that you can pull these together with one another, the more of a chance you're going to be able to go out there and do it. The fifth chance that you can really get out there and be a speaker is a wild, crazy personality. There are some people that are just so weird, intriguing, crazy that you're just like, I got to have you. I don't even know what you're going to talk about. Just come here and talk about something. Now, there is a sixth one. And these are the main ones over here. You can have those different aspects. But their sixth one is, and this often goes in hand with another one, is crazy, crazy work ethic. About a year ago, a year and a half ago, I spoke on the same stage with Hal Elrod, and he has maybe the best-selling self-published book in the world on The Miracle Morning. And when I first read The Miracle Morning, I thought, that's okay. It's a good book. Now, he recently redid it and really made it really good. But I read it and thought, that's good principles, but actually not that well written and kind of weirdly formatted and not the greatest covered. So how did he take this book that had a great idea, but how did he take this book that was okay and really he worked it hard. Before podcasts had places where you could meet someone easy, he reached out to people, cold calls, and he went everywhere and he just worked that book. He believed in the idea and had a good idea, a solid idea, a great idea. And he just believed in it and promoted it and promoted it and worked it and worked it and worked it. And I've heard him talk about that. And that eventually grabbed a hold where the good idea actually replaced even some of the poor sentences and the overall look of the book, to the point where people just said, yes, this is great. And it just raised them up to that spot where he could command some great income from speaking on gigs, as well as his great income from his book. But how did he become successful? He worked his butt off in that promotion. For you, if you want to become a speaker, these are the five ways. And I would just put as many of these as you can together with that hard work ethic.
I love that. And I want to highlight something here, because this is really the reason this spoke so much to me is I didn't have a really amazing story. I was just kind of an average guy, came from a pretty poor family, didn't have like any cool, like come to Jesus moments is what I call them, right? You didn't have an amazing moment that you could say, I got my arm bit off by a shark and continued surfing, right? Like Bethany Hamilton. But I looked at people like Russell Brunson, who he was even more average than me and became wildly, wildly successful by speaking and everything. But I want to point this out as a marketing tip, because you really hit on that so well. You know, there's five and kind of a sixth different way to develop a speaking career. But I would say that's the five different ways to become a thought leader. I mean, you've really hit that home where it's like,
yeah.
If you want to be recognized and if your content isn't hitting, it's because you haven't chosen one of those. And I know for me, I had to start with affiliation because I had no name, right? So that's why we started the podcast. It allowed me to affiliate myself with other really successful people and get into those inner circles and get to meet some amazing people. But when anybody saw my name next to Grant Cardone's name or next to Mike Acker's name, right? I get people look at me and say, okay, he's obviously more well-known than maybe I don't know him, but his name gets more recognized. And eventually we were able to build our own platform off of what was our differentiating factor. So I love that you hit those 5 points. So I want to ask you this, Mike, because you are uniquely qualified to answer this question, is how do you then take that story, turn it into a speaking platform, a written platform or what have you, and then monetize it?
Yeah. So it depends on which approach you're going to take. Is your speaking going to be a promotion for a product that you have? So I know that, for example, Chandler Bolt has been extremely successful with the self-publishing school. And I had a chance to work with him when I was publishing my book. I signed up for several different courses and that was one of them. And I did some masterminds with him. Smart, sharp guy. When he was launching his business, he put himself out there for speaking. Well, not a lot of people knew who he was. So sometimes he got paid. But his point was not to get paid. In fact, sometimes he paid to go speak on that stage or he sponsored the event. So his whole point was, I'm not going to get paid from the speaking. I'm going to get paid from what people buy from us after the speaking. So it really depends on what type of monetization you're going for. Are you going for, I want to be a speaker and that's how I'm getting paid. I'm going to get some of the people that I represent make $10,000-$15,000 for a speaking gig. That is what they're selling. They're selling their keynote. And that's great. Do a couple of those a month and you're doing pretty well right there. Others are saying, I'm going to sell something on the back end. I'm going to sell a course, or I'm going to sell a book. Now, that strategy difference really makes it change for you. If you don't need the money, like Chandler wasn't going for the money from the gig, he was going for the promotion. It was easier for him to get into some different environments because they didn't have to pay him. And every event loves a free speaker if the speaker is going to do well. So if you have one of these five aspects that really develops a speaking career, then you push yourself out there and you say, and I'll do it for free. People are more likely to say yes to you. If you are going to get paid for it, then what you need to do is you need to climb the ladder slowly. Well, of course, depending on how well and how high you are on your five different areas, that's going to create a little bit difference. If you have a level 3 story, if you're level 2 here, level 1 here, 0 here on the different areas, then you're going to probably start out with some free gigs, do really well, record it, create your speaker video, and then do some gigs for $1,000, and then do gigs for $2,000, and then $3,000, $5,000, $10,000. And as you do well, I say this again and again, and it's so true. If you do well with less, people will want more, and you're able to build that more and more. So first, determine what type of monetization you're going for, and then two, build it in the way that fits.
Love that, because those are two really different structures. And as you said, you know, it's, you almost have to structure your entire business differently, because I've seen people do where they still even pitch themselves when they've been paid for the event. You know, they kind of do a mix of both, but it almost feels icky, you know, as the listener, when you're sitting there and you're saying, okay, well, you got paid to be here, and now you're going to pitch me for 30 minutes about your program. Right.
Right.
And I know for me, it was actually really intriguing to, you know, I love events, love going and listening to speakers as well. But I went to the Grant Cardone event, really cool event, but the entire event is sales pitches by different people. Mm-hmm. And I personally enjoyed it because I like seeing how they're pitching and everything, but a lot of people were turned off by it.
Yeah.
It was really intriguing because his entire event was built around that. So yeah.
Happening on that event, and this is the dirty secret behind that. And I don't know about Grant Cardone, but those type of events, here's what's happening. And it's genius, but a little bit tricky at the same time, is the event person is getting money. And I've been to these too, and I won't name any of them, but you go to the event and they're getting money from the people who are going, they're getting money from the sponsors. And then actually the speakers are paying them, because if I can get in front of this, you know, 10,000 people or 1,000 people or 500 people, and I can pitch my product. So sure, I might pay $3,000, $5,000 to speak, but if I get a couple sales, I'm even. And if I get a lot of sales, so for example, at one event, there was a speaker who came, and he came, did a great job speaking, and then pitched his product. And out of that, out of the hundreds of people there, he spoke and he had, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50 people sign up for a multi-$1,000 product. Well, now he's making way more than he would ever be able to merit as a speaker because of the sales. So it depends on what you're doing. And there's a good way to do it, and there's an honest way to do it, and a dishonest way. Some of the people that I represent, they also have coaching programs as well, but it's not the focus. So they might say something like, as I coach my clients, but it's weaved in, and it's not like, and afterwards I will be, and it's not anything like that. It's I'm here to help you. And some people afterwards go, well, because he helped me, I want to go ahead and do that. I mean, I've had people that I have no intention of trying to sell my coaching services in a podcast. I usually am just pointing to my book, but I've had people reach out to me afterwards and go, wow, I felt like you were able to help me so much in just that podcast. Can you do it? That's a little bit different than me spending 30 minutes talking about it and doing a sales pitch.
Well, and you know, this dovetails really well because on this show, we talk a lot about you need to be speaking. You've got to be out there. You've got to be doing podcasts. You've got to be doing content, or you've got to speak on stages. You should always be sharing your message, whether that's written, audio, video, whatever you're doing. And so I heavily believe in what you're saying. You know, you even said 10,000, 5,000 or 100 people you have that chance to promote your product to. It's always, always worth it. But you know, Mike, I want you to touch on this because everybody who is suffering right now in the online space, it's I would say it's about 99%, if not all of them, the reason why they're not succeeding is because they're not getting their message out in front of enough people. And they're worried, oh, my messaging sucks. Oh, my product sucks. All stuff. It has nothing to do with that. It just means you're not getting in front of enough people. And so I think where your book really touches on this, you know, is overcoming that fear of speaking. What's that initial fear that people have to overcome, and how are they overcoming it using your book to be able to actually go out, speak, and take that first leap? Because I know that that first leap, the first stage is the hardest and the scariest.
Yeah. I'd say there's three real reasons why people are afraid to put themselves out there. Fear of failure. Like, what if I fail? What if I do it? And what if I write the book? What if I start the podcast? What if I start the business? What if I leave my corporate job and I don't have that safety net and it goes wrong? So fear of failure, fear of rejection. What if I put myself out there and nobody likes me? What if no one listens to that episode of Josh Tapp's Lucky Titan because nobody likes me? Or I try to sell my product, or I write a book and I get that review that I'm like, I've had reviews that said, this book was absolutely garbage, did nothing for me. Thank you. That's very constructive criticism. Other of my 500 reviews are really good, but there's a few that are not. And that fear of rejection, I actually tell people, embrace rejection. You'll become better around, all around. I teach my son to embrace rejection. He's 6 years old. Like, they don't want to play with you? Soak in it. Move on. The third reason that a lot of people just won't put themselves out there, and beyond just that rejection, beyond just that fear, is the lost my train of thought on my story of my son right there. But the last one is just even that simple. I just won't do it. Like, I don't believe in myself enough to do it. The unknown. And so it's not even the failure or rejection. It's just the fear of moving. It's the paralysis of analysis. So those are the fears often people are coming with. And there's some other ones as well. And some more are actually on the anxiety side of things. And they actually have a chemical imbalance going on as well. And others are just the fear. And often it's the fear of rejection because they've been rejected. So in my book, the first thing we talk about is uncovering and cleaning the wound. When I wrote that, I didn't know what power I was actually writing about. I was just like, "Yeah, this is good. You got to clean up your junk before you move on to the future." But I've had people call me from United Arab Emirates, from all over the United States, from the other places in the Middle East, from Zambia, from Peru, and literally on a phone call with me, break down and cry and talk about, when I read this, I didn't realize I was carrying these words that was said to me and just this pain that was manifesting it. And I won't go into any other details because it can get quite private, but sometimes people are afraid because of these different reasons and they're holding it on. So my first strategy is, look, you gotta let go. And sometimes people don't. About 2/3 of the people I work with end up having a fear that is associated with some traumatic thing that happened. But about 1/3 don't. And I even tell people in my workbook, just skip to the next session then. And then the other ones really are different strategies to say, here's how you can do it. I was working with a client just even before this call. And I said, as you go into this, I want you to take little pieces of paper and I want you to write the names of different people who are going to be in the room with you. And so she wrote down 4 different people's names. I said, okay, put that around your laptop as you're looking at your camera for your Zoom. Remember, you're not talking to a room of people you don't know. You're talking to people. And in the book, I write this. Crowds are scary. People are not. Friends are not. People are friends. And often we take, oh my gosh, I got to give a presentation. Oh my gosh, I got to launch out. I'm going out to them instead of going out to Mike or Josh. And as you start launching out and think about your product, your business, your speech, and you start thinking about how can I make this relevant to John and Samantha and Prabhu and Arturo and all the different people I'm thinking about, how can I do that? All of a sudden, some of that fear of the unknown becomes known. So I walk through these strategies, but I will say this, before all seven strategies, even the uncovering the wound, I have this chapter, not chapter, and it's called Before You Begin, Believe. If there's a chair in your room, if you're driving in a car listening to this, you would not sit down in the chair if you didn't believe it would hold your weight. You wouldn't get into the car and try to drive somewhere if you didn't believe it would get you there. And a lot of people don't believe that they can. And I love what Henry Ford said, whether you can or you can't, or whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. And the first step to launching out into entrepreneurship, the first step to speaking, the first step is belief. Now, it should be based belief, based in something. So I'm going to be the next LeBron James, because I believe it. You're looking at me going, no, you're not, Mike, 6'1", and you're middle-aged now. You're never going to do that. Now, but if you have the talent, if you have the background, if you have the support, if you have the drive, if you have the resources, if you have just the gumption, if you have the ideas, if you have something and you believe, for me, I provide coaching, right? If you have coaching and support and all these resources and you believe you can, then you can.
I love that. And we usually like to end on a mic drop, but I'm going to give you another opportunity to drop the second mic, Mike. So Mike, I want to ask you this, because obviously people at this point are probably saying, where do I get access to the book? How do I get access to Mike? So give us one link. Where should people go if they want to find you?
MikeAcker.com. Acker's like tracker. So A-C-K-E-R, MikeAcker.com. You can find me there. It'll link over to my keynotes. It'll link over to my programs. You can find me all over the internet by Googling me as well.
Love that. So make sure you go check out MikeAcker.com. And then Mike, before we sign off here today, I want to ask you this. So if you could give one final parting piece of guidance to our audience, what would that be?
It's not about you. The reason why we get so caught up, and this is actually one of the strategies in the book, it's not about you, that we think, well, will people want what I do? Will people like me? Will anybody want to listen to my speech, read my book? See how focused on me and my and I it is? Versus I wrote this to help people. And I thought if I could just help some people with this book, that would be a benefit. When I do a podcast, I'm not thinking about, I hope these people like me. I hope Josh thinks my hair looks cool. Instead, I'm thinking, I want to bring some value. Josh, you and I said at the very beginning of this in the pre-recording, I said, my way that I start my day is help me help people. My prayer, help me help people. And now that takes a lot of the fear, takes a lot of the potential rejection away, because my aim at the end of the day is help people. And I believe, and for a reason, that it will come back to me. But ultimately, if I can help people, even if it doesn't turn into monetization, then I have made the world one person better.
I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Lucky Titan Podcast. If you want to fill your favorite platform with dream customers, then come join myself and thousands of others of hosts at theluckytitan.com/tribe. Here you can find guests for your show, get featured on other shows, and discover the secrets to building an audience of raving fans. So once again, go create your free account at theluckytitan.com/tribe.